This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. Coming up, they don't necessarily follow through. But a new survey shows that Asian American women are more likely to think about suicide than other groups. Why might that be? We'll ask the lead researcher on the study in a few minutes and a woman who talks candidly about her own struggles. But first, more on healthcare. A newsmaker interview with a woman with rare insights into the healthcare debate. She oversees care for a large, diverse, underserved population, many of whom have significant health issues. Resources are limited, but she still manages to offer care at low or no cost to patients. Intrigued? She is the director of the Indian Health Service. It's been around since 1955, and about half of this country's 4.3 million American Indians and Alaskan Natives get care through the Indian Health Service, or IHS. To hear more about the IHS, we've invited Dr. Yvette Rubidoux. She is the director of the Indian Health Service. She's a member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe of South Dakota. She's the ninth director and the first woman to hold that post. And she joins us now from her office in Rockville, Maryland. Welcome, Doctor. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Now, Doctor, not many people, I think, outside of the some parts of the country are familiar with the Indian Health Service. So can you tell us, how did this system start? How did the program start?
Well, the Indian Health Service is an agency in the Department of Health and Human Services, and it was developed based on the trust responsibility that the federal government has to provide health care for American Indians and Alaska Natives. So it was established in 1959, and it consists of a network of over 600 hospitals and clinics located on Indian reservations or near them throughout the country.
So as I understand it, you have to either live on the reservation or live near it to receive care. So ironically, you can't get care through the IHS anymore.
Yes, I am technically an urban American Indian living in the Washington, D.C. area, and we don't have an Indian Health Service clinic or hospital near here. So I don't have access to a source of health care that's been important to me for much of my life.
As I understand it, part of what motivated you to become a doctor was that you had some unhappiness with the care that you got from the IHS when you were growing up. Can you talk more about that?
Yes, the challenge that the Indian Health Service has is that historically it's had difficulty meeting the needs and the growing demands of the patients it serves with the limited budget that it has. And so when I was a child, I would go to the Indian Health Service hospital in my city, and I just remember waiting a long time to see doctors, and then I never really saw the same doctor each time because the Indian Health Service has always had difficulty recruiting doctors to work in rural and remote areas. And I also realized at some point that I had never seen an American Indian physician.
Well, when you say long waits to see a doctor, what do you mean?
Well, the problem that we face is recruiting doctors in rural areas. And so, unfortunately, there's a wait for services.
How is this paid for?
The Indian Health Service is paid for through congressional appropriations annually. So every year there's a budget for the Indian Health Service.
So it's essentially a single-payer system?
Not really, because in addition to the federal government, our facilities are also able to bill for Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurance. And so those are important sources of revenues for our facilities. And in fact, over half of some of the budgets of our facilities rely on third-party collections.
How would you assess the quality of care offered by the Indian Health Service?
Well, I think the quality of care that we offer is sort of a mixed picture. If you look at the quality of care over time, since 1955, there are some areas where we've made great improvements. We've been able to reduce mortality for some conditions, and especially in the area of diabetes, we've been able to reduce care to the point to where I think it's actually better than what people get in the general U.S. healthcare system. However, there really are some areas where we do need to improve. Preventive care is one area where the resources that we have need to be used more for urgent and emergent care and taking care of the daily needs of patients, and sometimes the budget doesn't stretch far enough for us to do more of the preventive practices, but we would like to do better at that.
Why did you want to do this job?
Well, I'm really honored to have been appointed to do this job by the president. It certainly was a surprise for me to receive the call, and a lot of people would say, boy, you're taking on a huge job of trying to improve this large federal healthcare system, but I really do believe that we're at a unique moment in history where we have the support of a president, we have the support of our administration, and there is bipartisan support in Congress to improve the Indian Health Service and try to get more resources towards our mission. And so I'm excited about it. I also became a doctor because of my desire to want to improve health care for American Indians and Alaska Natives. And fortunately, this position gives me sort of the ultimate opportunity to try to do that.
And as Congress and the White House and the country continues to go on and debate health care, is there one message that you think they should learn from the Indian Health Service?
Well, I think that we have been fortunate enough to receive some congressional funding over the last 10 years that has allowed us to improve the quality of care delivered in our clinics, but has also given us the resources to work more in partnership with our communities, to develop education that makes sense to our community members, that incorporates local traditions and concepts about wellness, and to build wellness centers and to increase opportunities for people to do physical activity. And all of these factors together have really led to, for example, us being the only group where the diagnosis of new cases of end-stage renal disease or kidney disease are going down rather than up, and that we've been able to improve blood glucose control to the point to where we are now starting to see a reduction in the complications of diabetes. So I think the lesson that they can learn is that improving the health of the people in this country involves the health system, but it involves so much more. It involves so many factors in our communities, in our families, the way we live our lives, that I hope that in addition to investing into improvements in the healthcare system, that we can see investments in the improving activities that prevent disease and that promote wellness in all of our citizens. And I think that's something that we do particularly well in the Indian Health Service.
Dr. Yvette Rubido is the director of the Indian Health Service. It's a part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, as she told us. She is a member of the Rosebud Sioux Tribe of South Dakota. She's the first woman to hold this post, and she was kind enough to join us from her office in Rockville, Maryland. Thank you so much, Doctor, for speaking with us.
Thank you.